Good evening and welcome once again to Cornerstone Church and to our online Bible class as we continue this series looking at issues pertaining to mental health, mind problems. And this evening we want to look at an area that causes much division, much mental and spiritual stress to people. And that is something I've called the devil's news reporters, where people take it upon themselves to go around gossiping and slandering others as if they've been appointed to become broadcasters of evil tidings in the lives of others. And the world is full of gossipers and slanderers and liars. And no one is really immune from the temptation of getting involved in gossip. It has done great harm to many families, to many churches, to many societies, as people have indulged in this. And the Bible makes it clear that even Christians can be seduced into this area of their lives, to fall into this sin. Proverbs 6 tells us that God hates that particular sin. In fact, God calls it an abomination in Proverbs 6, verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That's what God describes that particular sin as, an abomination. We want to read this evening a passage that pertains to this subject from 2 Samuel chapter 16. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. We want to read the first four verses. And these verses let us know that even the godliest and the most faithful of God's servants can be fooled by gossip and slander. Verse 1 says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's horsehold to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, Where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. So King David had this interesting encounter with a man called Ziba, at a time when David was under great pressure and was very vulnerable as he was on the run from Absalom. In chapter 19 of 2 Samuel, in verse 24, we have a little follow-up to this incident. We're going to read from verse 24 to verse 30. And this happens after David was restored to the throne again, after Absalom had been put to death and his armies defeated and the rebellion quashed, that Mephibosheth came to David. We're told that Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed unto the day he came again in peace. It came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God, do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. Right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? The king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his house. Amen, and God will bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for this, thy word, a word that speaks to us of a particular problem that so many Christians fall into, not just once in a while, but continually in their lives as believers. Give us wisdom to serve thee. Give us the right words to say, the right words not to say in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we introduced this earlier by saying that the gossip is the devil's newscaster. Well, what is a gossip? A gossip is a person or a group of people who insert themselves into other people's lives and in a way that's harmful to that particular person. Sometimes they repeat the truth, sometimes it's half-truths, and sometimes it's just outright lies. And they do enormous spiritual and emotional damage to fellow Christians and to people in general. And the Bible has much to say against a person becoming a gossiper. Way back in the book of Leviticus, God said in chapter 19 and verse 16, Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So right at the beginning of the nation of Israel, God, speaking through Moses, warned that this is not to go on. This is not to be your conduct. As a fellow believer, as part of the work of God, you're to avoid this type of behavior. And it crept into the New Testament church as well, because the Apostle Paul warned in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, and he said that they learn to be idle. With all, they learn to be idle. In other words, there's a tendency for those who are not working, who are not productive, that they learn to be lazy and idle, and they wandering about, he says, from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So Paul says, even amongst believers, when people are not busy in doing the role that God called them to do, serving the Lord where God placed them, if they avoid that role, neglect that role, then it's not long before the devil finds work for the idle hands and finds words for the idle tongue. And they go around from house to house, Paul says, causing trouble, spreading bad news, spreading gossip, slanders about fellow believers. Now, having said what I've just said, the Bible is not against correction. It's not saying that it's wrong for a person to be brought before the leadership of a church or the leadership of a home or even a society, a government, and dealt with for a particular sin and the sin to be reported to that leadership. That's not what it's saying. Those are legitimate, God-given avenues where a person must be dealt with and disciplined for what he or she has done wrong. But what it's talking about is that it's a sin is fellow believers going around speaking evil of others, unjustly, unwarranted, without invitation, when it's none of their business. And the Bible is very strong in condemning such activity. And King David was a man who suffered greatly from the hands of others, going around gossiping about him and slandering about him. Saul slandered him. Saul's servants slandered and gossiped about him. And there were many, many others. David never responded. He never fought with such people and hit back at such people. In fact, if you read his Psalms, he just brought it to the Lord and he left it there and cried unto the Lord for his intervention in the situation. The Apostle Paul was another one who was greatly gossiped about and slandered. And people went around and made him the object of disdain and derision in their conversation. And many times he mentions in his epistles of those who were gossiping about him and slandering him. And he says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 8, when he describes his life, a life of suffering and difficulty, he says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. He says, there are people who spoke well of us, praised us, but sad to say, he says, there were others who went around speaking evil of us. And in some cases, Paul was forced to, for the sake of the ministry, defend himself and defend his calling as an apostle. There were some individuals he even had to call out who were a danger to other Christians and to the work of God. He speaks, for example, of Phygellus and Hermogenes and Alexander the coppersmith and others who did great harm with their tongues, attacking the Apostle Paul and his ministry. Well, what are the fruits of gossip? There are some Christians who think, well, gossiping about others is not really a big thing. They say, well, it's just human nature. It's just we're made to be social creatures. And the topic of our conversation is naturally about each other and about others. That's just the way the world is. And we live in the world and we are just like the rest of them. And they say, well, it's no big deal. It's just conversation. It's just passing the time of day. But the Bible makes clear that gossip is a terrible sin that does terrible damage to many, many lives. And I've just listed in the notes a number of things, just six simple things, not an exhaustive list, of problems and dangers that come with gossip. Number one, it hurts the reputation of others. Hurts the reputation. Number two, it divides people. God is about bringing God's people together, bringing them together in unity and harmony and peace. And the devil is trying to do the opposite, divide them, to destroy them. Gossip divides. It's the devil's vocabulary. Third thing that it does, it distorts the truth. And any time truth is distorted, it's an attack on God's character because God is truth. And Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's who God is. And any time you're involved in gossiping and slandering others, it's distorting and twisting the truth. And it hurts the character and the name of God. Number four, it reveals what is meant to be private and what is sensitive about others. It betrays confidences. It betrays sensitivities that that person is owed by you in their situation. The fifth thing it does, it prolongs quarrels. When two individuals fall out and then others gossip about it and go around talking about it, it just fans the flames of the quarrel. It fans the flames of the dispute and makes reconciliation harder, makes forgiveness harder, and prolongs the disputes. The sixth thing it does, it limits trust. Because when you discover a person gossips about others, then that person can't be trusted by you. You can't share confidences with that person. You can't pray for that person and with that person because you're afraid always that what you reveal to them or share with them, even inadvertently, may be passed on in a wrong way. So all of those dangers come about through gossip. Now, how to deal with gossip? You and I, I'm sure, if you've lived long enough on earth, run into Christians who, or professing Christians, who get involved in gossip and how to deal with it, how to deal with the situation. And many times they will come to you as a friend under the guise of coming to share. Sometimes they even add a little spiritual language. We want you, I'm concerned about brother so-and-so. It's a prayer request. It's some information I want to share so you can pray better for them. Never forget that when the devil came in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, he didn't come as an enemy, or at least in the guise of an enemy. He came to Eve in the guise of friendship. He came pretending to help, pretending to be interested in her needs and to share with her her needs and her concerns, when in reality he was there to cause trouble, to divide, to spread poison in her life. And the first thing I would say to you in dealing with gossip is don't talk to gossipers. Shut them out of your life. Discouraging a culture of gossip in your own life is the best way to deal with such people. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." A lot of wisdom in that statement. If you never talk about other people, then you never can gossip about other people. And if you don't gossip about other people, you can't then cause trouble for other people and for yourself. And Solomon says, the one who learns the discipline of self-control, control of what they hear and what they say, that person will avoid the dangers that comes with being a gossip. Solomon also says in Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Solomon makes a very simple point from nature. Fires spread when there's fuel to spread the fire. The way to put out a fire is to cut off the source of fuel for the fire. That's why when there's a forest fire, they try to cut down the trees around the edge of the fire so that the fire will burn itself out. And we are not to fan the flames as Christians of gossip. The way to put a stop to the gossip spreading within the people of God, within the family, within the workplace, within the wider society, is don't be in part of it. Cut it out of your life. Shut it down. The second thing to do is choose your friends wisely. If there is someone you know who is prone to gossip, avoid them. Don't be close to them. Don't indulge them. Don't invite them into your life. Don't use them and their gossip as an excuse and say, well, they said it, not me. I didn't say it. But you went and listened to it. You went and befriended a person you knew like that. And Solomon says in Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Solomon says, you have a choice to make when there's gossipers floating around. You have the choice to make to keep away from them, to not befriend them, to not give them a listening ear. And if you do that and choose wisely who your friends are, who your companions are, that will help you deal with the sin of gossip. And always remind yourself, the same person who gossips to you will be the same person who will likely gossip about you around the corner to someone else. So choose your friends wisely. The third thing I would say is this, be discreet. Sometimes we hear things we wish we hadn't heard. Sometimes we overhear it in another conversation. Confidential information or a piece of information about someone else that really we didn't need to hear. And we have a choice to make with that information, to either keep it or to pass it on. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a fearful spirit concealeth the matter. In other words, he's not speaking here about sin in terms of a crime or some great moral sin in a person's life that needs to be dealt with and disciplined by the leadership of the church or by the state. No, he's speaking about a problem in another person's life. And Solomon says a wise person, a faithful friend, conceals that, doesn't spread it. Even if they overhear it accidentally, they are very careful, very prudent in how they handle it. There's an old saying, and it's a true saying, gossip dies when it hits a wise person's ears. When a wise person inadvertently hears or even directly hears information about another person, they don't spread it. They conceal it. In other words, they keep it within their heart. Maybe they pray for that person. Maybe they meditate and think, how can I help that person and guide that person in the right way? They certainly never think, let me go out and talk about it. Let me go out and spread it to another person. The fourth thing you should do is this. Remind yourself of the destructive and sinful nature of gossip. That's a very important point. The Bible makes it very clear of the dangers of gossip. One of the things gossip does, it hurts and damages the reputation of others. When you talk about another person, you're hurting them. You're hurting their character, their testimony, their reputation. And the Bible makes it clear that a good name, a good testimony, a good character is the most important thing. In the book of Proverbs, again, in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So the most precious thing you have is your testimony, is your reputation. And when someone goes around slandering that, they're undermining that reputation. And talking about other believers unfairly hurts their reputation. It breaks up trusted friendships. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, a whisperer separateth chief friends. Many close, strong friendships that have survived many, many years, many, many crises, have been ruptured and torn apart by gossipers, by slanderers. But then the fifth thing, and this is also a very important point, is learn to check your facts wisely. We read earlier from 2 Samuel chapter 16 of an incident in the life of King David where David failed to check the facts out about Mephibosheth. This man, Ziba, came and slandered Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth was lame in his legs, unable to get to David to help David, he sent Ziba with food and other material blessings to help David. And when Ziba got there, he misrepresented him and said to David that Mephibosheth was celebrating David's dethronement, the rebellion of Absalom. And Mephibosheth was rejoicing in David's day of failure. And David got very angry, very upset. And he said to Ziba, without checking the facts, without taking time to pause and reflect, he spoke inadvisedly, and he said to this man Ziba in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel and verse 4, all that pertains unto Mephibosheth, he says, are all thine. I'm giving it to you. In other words, he passed judgment on this man Mephibosheth. And later on in 2 Samuel 19, the truth came out that Mephibosheth hadn't blackened David, hadn't turned on David, hadn't betrayed David. And David foolishly, wrongly, jumped to a conclusion about him. The Bible makes it clear in many, many different passages that we have a duty, not just a right, but a duty to always verify the facts against another person. Any accusation that comes to you, never repeat, never jump to a conclusion until you have verified the facts. In fact, the Bible gives us a process that we should do it before two independent witnesses. If it's a church issue, it should be dealt with by the leadership of the church and brought there to be dealt with. Not you going around the church gossiping about another person, spreading rumors, even spreading things that you have seen about another person. You're to bring it to the leadership and leave it there to be dealt with. And if you don't want to do that, then you keep it to yourself and pray for that person. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. In other words, you're a fool. You're a shameful fool, the Bible says, if you jump to a conclusion about a person because you heard some gossip or you heard an accusation about them, and you haven't verified that is information. Don't repeat gossip without checking facts, without verifying the accusation. Because if you do, it's a folly. You're a fool, the Bible says. If you do, it's to your shame in doing so. Now, how to react? How should you and I react if we discover there are people gossiping about us? And of course, the fleshly reaction is always to flare up, always to lash out, always to get angry. And the best thing that generally to adopt in terms of attitude and action when people gossip about you is to do nothing, is to just hand it to the Lord like King David did in the Psalms when he brought these issues before the Lord and says, Lord, you hear their tongues. You see the slanderers going around making these accusations against me. And David just pleads with God to deal with it, to intervene. And he leaves the matter with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul did the same. It was only when the ministry was being attacked that Paul felt duty-bound to rise up to defend the ministry of God. But when it was a personal attack, purely personal, against Paul, he ignored it and left it to the Lord to deal with it. And it's best not to let the devil get a double victory, because he already has a victory in sending the gossiper in amongst the work of God to spread rumors and false accusations against you. But don't give him the double victory by you reacting the wrong way in the flesh in that situation. And never let other people's opinions and accusations prevent you from doing God's will for your life. Let it go. Leave it there. And of course, a very humble attitude helps, because if you analyze yourself and your character and your years on this earth, there are many, many instances where you have failed God. Many, many things that you say, I am an unprofitable servant. I haven't done it right. And yes, you may be falsely accused in this instance, but you have been falsely praised in other instances, and not accused when you probably should have been accused in many ways. And it's best just to let it go in a humble way. Solomon gives great advice in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 21. He says this: take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Solomon says, don't get all worked up into a rage when you overhear others gossiping about you or saying negative things about you. And Solomon points out, you're just as guilty. There's been instances in your life, if you're honest, well, you've gossiped. You've said the wrong thing. And now you're reaping what you sow. And Solomon says, just let it go. Leave it with the Lord. Mr. Spurgeon famously said to his students in his Bible college when he was lecturing them on the ministry, he said to them, my advice to you is to follow what I have done in my life. He says, always have one deaf ear, he says, to the gossip, and one blind eye to those going around gossiping in your life. He says, because if you adopt that attitude, you'll be much happier. You'll be able to fulfill the work of God and the calling of God without getting into distractions, without dealing with everything that's thrown against you. I believe it was Mr. Churchill who once gave the advice to those who were always intimidated by critics and those who always complain and murmur and slander and gossip. And he said, I don't get involved with such people. He says, if I take time to throw a stone at every dog that barks at me as I walk past, he said, I'd never get anything done. And his advice was just ignore those people. Just let them go and leave them really to the hands of God to deal with. And Spurgeon made that point very clearly. Now, when Spurgeon said that to his students, Spurgeon was a man who was greatly gossiped and slandered in his ministry. Because as a young man, he became very famous in a very short time. And his church grew from relatively a small number of people to a great number. And in his early 20s, he had the largest church in the world. He was the most famous preacher in the world. His sermons were printed in newspapers all around the world every week, and his books sold in the tens of thousands. And a lot of people got jealous of him, a lot of ungodly people, and sadly, even a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors who were jealous of his success. This young man who suddenly was far more famous than them, and they considered him not as significant or as important as they were. And they said all kinds of evil against him, and they accused him of all kinds of wrong things. Said he was a showman, he was a show-off. He was an actor, not a preacher. They said that he built this great church to demonstrate how great he was. It was a white elephant. And after he would die, the whole church would collapse. And they used all kinds of false statements to accuse and gossip about Spurgeon. And Spurgeon felt the pain of it and the hurt of it. And he was particularly disturbed when fellow ministers of the gospel would slander him and gossip about him. But he learned over time the best way to deal with it is to leave it with the Lord, not to respond to it, like King David. And when he got older, he wrote those words to his students. He said, when you're in the ministry, when you're in the work of God, he says, keep a blind eye, a shut eye, and a deaf ear. In other words, don't pay attention. Learn just to pretend you didn't see it, you didn't hear it, because that's the key to succeeding in the work of God. Now, one last point, one last issue. How do you handle a situation if you are prone to gossiping and meddling in other people's lives? How do you respond now if you have already done this particular sin? And I'm sure I'm talking to people tonight who are probably all guilty of doing this to one degree or another at some point in their lives. And one of the problems we face is this. As human beings, we are created by God to be social creatures, to mingle with others, to have relationships with others, to have conversations with others. That's how God made us, to be social creatures. And unfortunately, sin has the problem of contaminating all of our relationships, getting in and even polluting the most sacred relationships, the most sacred friendships we have with one another. And if you are not careful, the sin of gossip and slander can easily come into your life and begin to hurt your relationships with others. And a great rule of thumb, if you're talking about another person, is to ask yourself this question. Would I be comfortable if the person I'm talking about in their absence was sitting beside me and listening to me say what I'm about to say or have just said? And if you're not sure about that, if you feel uncomfortable with that thought, then don't say it. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and we quoted it recently in these Bible studies, made this great statement, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He says, be very, very careful what you say. But, he says, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Paul says this. He recognized that we like to talk. We're communicators. We like to socialize. We like to have meals together. We like to chat, go to the coffee shop together. And Paul says there's nothing wrong with that, nothing sinful in that in and of itself. But if you have to use your tongue, you feel compelled to go and speak with others. And the Apostle Paul himself was a person who loved to converse with other people. He was always using his tongue in conversation, whether in a formal sense or an informal sense, as you read the book of Acts and you read his epistles. In fact, if you read, for example, the last chapter of Romans, you see the great list of friends that he had in that city, a city he'd never been to. And yet he lists all the people who send greetings and all the people that he knew in the work of God. And it was a very broad spectrum of people. So Paul was a very friendly person. He was a very social person. He was not some social recluse. It's very clear as you read his epistles. Paul knew people. Paul loved to be around people. But he makes it very clear. If you're going to use your tongue, use it wisely. Instead of using your tongue to gossip, use it to spread the gospel. Instead of using your tongue to talk against people, especially fellow believers, use your tongue to pray for them. Use your tongue to encourage them. Use your tongue to edify them. And if you hear that or observe that they have a weakness in some area of their lives, in some relationship, use your words and your example to try and encourage them to live better and be better. In fact, Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, that be very sure to always mind your own business. He puts it in a very blunt way. He says that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Paul says, don't run around getting involved in everybody else's business. That's not your role in life. God hasn't appointed you as his news reporter. He hasn't appointed you as his sniper to shoot down every fellow Christian. Your duty is to work with your own hands. Do your job. Do your role that God calls you to do. And that means your role within the church, your role within the home, your role within the wider society. And do that first and serve in that capacity and avoid running around getting involved in other people's businesses. And the Bible makes it clear, God takes it very seriously. Very, very seriously. Anyone who goes around gossiping and slandering others. Let me give you a few verses. Psalm 101, verse 5 says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. That's how strong God thinks about such a person. And Jesus tells us that every idle word in Matthew 12, 36 that we say about others, we gossip about others, we will give account for before God. Peter says to us to cut out wrong conversations, cut out gossiping in an evil way out of our lives. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Well, that's a strong word, evil speakings. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he says, cut that out from your life. Have some radical heart surgery and mouth surgery and tongue surgery to stop you using your tongue to go around saying evil things about others. As I said, you and I are called to mind our own business. Let God take care of his business. You take care of your business. And let others take care of their business in the work of God. Are you a busybody? Are you a meddler? Are you a gossiper? Well, if that is the type of person you are, you need to change. And if you've indulged in that sin, you need to repent. And you need to say, I'm wrong. I've sinned. And you need to stop behaving like that. And God hates it, and we should also hate it. And my simple advice to you this evening is this. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. May God help you and cry unto God for grace to enable you to stop doing this terrible sin of gossip and slander. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this thy word. We thank thee for your hand upon us as we have looked through these various passages. And we pray that you would continue to speak to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.